This episode brought to you by Correlation and BankJoy. On the show today, we have 154 Advisors Glenn Sarvati talking to us about what he saw at VentureTech and NACUSO, especially their next big idea competition. So he's talking to us all about FinTech and the winners of the VentureTech Best in Show, and then the winner of the next big idea as well. Really, really cool stuff on the horizon for credit unions, and Glenn tells us all about it. So check it out. Awesome here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we're talking a lot of fintech today because we have Glenn Sarvati from 154 Advisors on our program. And Glenn is all about fintech. You're all about cybersecurity. You're all about all this type of stuff. So it's really fun to talk to you. And welcome back to the show, sir. Glad to have you back on.
Always good to talk to you, Mike.
Well, thank you. Likewise, sir. Hey, before we start talking about fintech, because we're going to be talking about what you saw at VentureTech, what you saw at NACUSO and their next big idea competition, and there's some themes running through there. So yeah, It'll be a really interesting talk. But I want to talk about, I just want to address, 154 Advisors. What's that all about? And for folks who for those two or three folks out there who may not have heard it.
Okay. Yeah, well, I've been in the payment space. I realize now I've been saying 20 plus years, and it's coming up on 25 as of next year.
Amazing how fast it goes.
You sound even older. I think I might just stick with 20 plus.
There you go.
Update myself too.
19 much. Years.
In the payment space, I've been involved. I was at CheckFree back before they were acquired by Fiserv.
Okay.
I was at McKinsey as a subject matter expert in the space. But for the last 5 years, I've been doing my own thing, kind of sitting at the intersection of the fintech world as well as the credit union world, where I've always had a real soft spot. And one of the things that, as I branched off on my own, my goal was not to work with the big institutions, but to work with the smaller ones on a much more manageable basis, not looking for big engagements, but looking more to be the subject matter expert on call that can help kind of on a quick strike basis. And the thing that I've enjoyed the most is the ability to really get out and talk to these companies and these credit unions about where that intersection really resides and what they can do together. And I think that's one of the trends I've been seeing, as a matter of fact, is a lot more collaboration between the two.
Oh, good. Yeah. I've seen that as well. Yeah. And then that's a pretty good intersection to be at as well, because it's always changing. The stoplights and the green lights are always going. So it's a pretty heavy traffic place, I would assume.
And the definition changes all the time too, but the awareness is so much higher. The money that's flowing into the space is just phenomenal. And but there's an awful lot of good stuff coming out too.
Okay, good. So well, talking about awfully good stuff, VentureTech. I mean, very exciting to have them back in the swing of things. And this fall, they kind of were in conjunction with NACUSO as well in Vegas recently. So, and it sounded like it was a huge success. So what did you see there? Just to kind of start off here.
Yeah, well, for one thing, they tripled their size. They before they met up in Plano, Texas at the Alchemy location. And I think between the fact that, Vegas is probably a little bit more of an appealing location, and they combined forces and piggybacked, they were back-to-back with the NACUSO conference. Although, having said all that, the overlap between the two groups of attendees was not as great as I thought.
Really?
They had about 210 people, I think, at VentureTech. And from what they said, only about 50 or 60 of them actually had kind of come over from
NACUSO
attendance. So most of the people actually showed up just to see the venture.
Oh, company. Interesting.
And it was extremely worthwhile. I mean, the 14 companies on stage, it's a little bit like, I always think of Finovate is kind of the traditional model of 7 minutes, but this is a little bit different. You get 15 minutes. The presenter gets to choose how much of that time they want to put into their actual one-way dialogue where they're actually presenting to you. And then the floor gets opened up for questions up to the 15-minute mark. And you don't know what you're going to get. It's a rich mix of investors, credit unions, CISOs, leagues, things along those lines. So you got a lot of different people asking questions in the audience.
Wow. So, and how long does the queue? I mean, I haven't been to a venture tech and I can't wait to get to it. I'm going to definitely go next year for sure. Wasn't able to make it this year, unfortunately. But so how long is the Q&A period last? Is it?
It was just 15 minutes combined. Okay. So I'd say most of the presenters on stage probably spent about 8-9 minutes of their time doing their presentation and then left a good, 5-6 minutes for people to ask questions from there.
That's cool. Yeah, because you never know what you're going to get from people's questions from the audience.
And being the guy who just can't stand quiet in the room, if nobody else asked a question, I was the first one up there asking the question.
Good for you. So what did you, were there any themes this year at Venture Tech that, that kind of stood out, or, cause we'll talk about the winner here in a second, but any themes or any
I didn't find as much of themes as I do often at Finovate and places like that. I think probably because the curation's a little bit stronger as far as, you know, the fact that there's only 14 slots. And therefore, I think that Nick Evans and the folks at CUNY Strategic Services have put this together, I think, spend a bit more time trying to make sure that they really kind of create the, you know, a full spectrum of the different types of solutions. But the one thing that I would say is it was, I thought that all 14 of them were very strong. I didn't, you know, there's always that thing of, you know, 7 minutes, if one doesn't look so good, you're going to see something new in seven more minutes. So what difference does it make? But there was not a single clunker as far as I'm concerned. Wow. About through all of them. But the one that came away with the trophy, which at Venture Tech at least, is a company that I believe you're going to be talking to separately again, called Silver, spelled with a U, S-I-L-V-U-R. And they've got a retirement app to help people with their retirement planning, and they're looking to offer it through. Right now, it's offered on a consumer direct basis as an app in the App Store on a monthly subscriber-based fee model. But they're looking to partner and actually weave it directly into the online banking experience through credit unions. And the premise is that, you know, they're really trying to appeal to people in their late 40s, early 50s, who are really starting to get to the, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this stage of retirement? As opposed to, you know,
there's a lot of us out there
buying your house and getting your kids into college. Yeah. And I mean, everybody's got their best intentions to tackle it a lot earlier. But when it starts to get a lot more real, and the point that Rianne Horgan made, who's the founder and CEO, you know, everybody, you know, these days, very few people are working at the same company that they joined out of college.
True.
Probably got multiple 401ks floating around out there. You've got assets in different places, and you got to figure out the best way to actually tie it all together. And her proposition is, you know, the baby boomers, according to her, I don't know if you've seen the statistic, are 40% of overall credit union membership. And therefore, this is a wonderful opportunity to make sure that A, you serve them, and B, you don't leave them open to somebody else making a pitch to actually take the business away from you.
Yeah. Yeah. My next question, I think you just answered, is like, why are they so popular? Why in your view did they win? Because obviously you said there wasn't a clunker in the bunch this year. So all the tech out there is pretty darn good. So what made them stand out from the rest?
I think it had to do with kind of the fact that they were meeting a market need, but very specifically doing it in such a fashion that gave, well, and Rianne may tell you this too. She said it probably didn't hurt that there were a whole bunch of boomers in the room that were actually the ones who were, you know, doing the judging too. It's an audience vote. So they probably saw this as top of mind, but they also saw that that's the big piece of both the membership as well as the asset base at the credit union. So if they can serve those folks and also find and do it in such a way that actually creates new revenue opportunities and relationship opportunities for the credit union, it's a pretty powerful combination.
No doubt, no doubt. So what do they have up their sleeve for like millennials and Gen Z when they come around? So
they definitely
have a succession plan there.
Well, their attitude was, I mean, that was one of the things is, you know, when everybody else is thinking about the notion of, you know, appealing to the young folks, getting the young folks into the credit union movement. And the solution works perfectly well for them as well. But right now they see the greatest opportunity at that slightly older stage. But the other thing they pointed out is a lot of the boomers are, and one of the reasons the woman started the company was she was helping her father navigate retirement.
Really?
And she discovered just how complicated it was. Yeah, so you're not only marketing to the person who's about to retire, you very, very well may be marketing to whoever's navigating them through the process.
Is this one of these things where it's like, why didn't I think of that? Is it just one of those in your face type of things? Like, oh my gosh, this was right in front of me type of thing.
I think that, I mean, so maybe the technology finally caught up with this. It reminds me of one of those things where I think that there's lots of people who have charged this hill and no one's managed to really fit, you know, absolutely pin it. And it's early enough. I'm not going to say they've absolutely pinned it. I haven't seen enough of the solution to be able to make that assessment myself. Yeah. But we've gotten far enough along. And she had a long stretch, Rianne did at the JP Morgan Chase Asset Management. So she obviously knows of what she speaks. So it seems to me that she's very well positioned to be the person who can really, you know, manage to finally solve this puzzle.
Know your audience, yeah. For sure. Anything else at VentureTech before we venture over to Nakuso?
Well, I mean, it's interesting to say because it's a natural kind of combination. The top two finishers that's not exactly true, but two of the top three finishers at both VentureTech and the Next Big Idea competition, which is in my view, one of the highlights of Nakuso.
Yeah, me too.
Were both silver. Silver actually finished as the runner up at
Okay.
But they actually beat out somebody who also presented at VentureTech, which to me really says something as well. You got two different audiences. You're both doing audience voting. Maybe it's a slightly different competition, or for whatever reason, maybe 15 minutes rather than seven gave them a better chance to give their pitch. But the other one's a company called Renify.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe you've had them on as well.
They've been on the show, yes. And they got really good reviews. Or the episode was very highly watched. Yeah.
So I would say, lack of a better way of putting it, I would call them a runaway winner of the Next Big Idea competition. I mean, there were five companies that were up there as finalists.
Mm-hmm.
They actually had 50%+ of the vote themselves. So the rest of the other four had less that votes combined than Renify did. Second was Silver.
Yeah.
So, but it kind of reminded me of, you know, when a team gets a rematch in the playoffs in the NFL, they lost during the regular season, and all of a sudden they're back on the field for the playoffs, and it doesn't always come out the same way.
That's true.
And I think they were both extremely worthy. So I kind of like the fact that they both.
Okay, well, so what sets Renify?
Renify, again, I think it's that whole notion of, you know, like right time, right place. You know, it's the ability, you know, the challenge that they're trying to solve is people who are doing renovation. Again, with the pandemic, with the hot housing market, there's more and more people who say, well, why don't I just fix up my own place the way I want it rather than exactly. worry about trying to find someplace else? Or, you know, if I put the money into it, it's going to be worth more down the road.
Exactly.
The challenge is that unless you've built up a lot of equity, you can tap into a line of credit. You don't necessarily, the way typical lending works, get credit for the value that you're adding into your house through that renovation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they've developed a methodology, they kind of call it a FICO score for home renovation, where they're creating the ability to basically credit the borrower for the appreciation that they're going to bring to their property gotcha. Through the renovations they're about to do.
That's a good idea.
So again, it's a very, you know, it's a great, you know, need being filled for the member who's mm-hmm. looking to improve their house. And it's a great need for the credit union who can actually now justify making additional loans.
Mm-hmm.
So see, again, it scratched both of those itches. And I think that really appealed.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're spot on about the timing of it too. And that's the great thing about gatherings like VentureTech and the Nakuso Next Big Idea, these competitions, they just bring out these really cool ideas. Like, it's almost like, why did I think of that type of thing? Gosh, you know, but I mean, there's obviously smarter people out there that are doing some really cool things, obviously, but it's like, wow, that's such a great idea. And it's something like, again, it can be like right in front of your face. So
it's always just fun seeing, you know, the different approach that people bring to the table when they get up on stage and talk about this stuff. It's, you know, it's fascinating.
Well, like what in the last couple of years, what was it? The company Zogo, who does, you know, financial literacy for college, high school. I mean, getting them into the financial services, I guess, works, so to speak. And they're capturing, it's kind of the opposite of what Silver's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
They're capturing the other spectrum of the market, the millennials and the Gen Zs, you know, coming out of college and just getting started. So,
well, and it's ironic you mentioned that one. One of the presenters at VentureTech is a company, and I also saw them at you know what? They actually won a Best in Show at Finovate back in the fall, a company called Longgate, which to me is doing a lot of the same things that Zogo is doing, but they've turned up the dial on gamification.
Hmm.
Now, I think that, you know, Zogo was still dealing more with the education piece of it. And by my personal take, I like that model better because I'm more interested. But if you want to really look at engagement, they're looking at, okay, play a couple of, you know, answer a couple of questions. So you're getting the education and you're going to earn tokens. Now you can go out and play this really fun game.
Mm-hmm.
And they, again, to the point that, Silver was making about the amount of time people spend on their platform. Apparently they've got the Gen Zs coming back on a very regular basis because they like to play these games.
Of course.
And therefore they can get people coming back into the credit union website through that.
Well, and that generation, not to get too far off track here, but that generation grew up playing games on their phone. So it's just a perfect little segue. So anything else at NECUSO stand out for you, or anything else at the Next Big Idea? Or
NECUSO also set a record in terms of attendance. So that really jumped out at me. And the other one that, and I know you've had these folks as well, I mean, the thing that really jumped out at me again was the, and it's again, a story of collaboration, the Circle Collective, which just blew through their original goals in terms of funding.
Did they ever
actually go out and invest in these companies we're talking about. And then similarly, CMFG Ventures, which mm-hmm. is Credit CUNA's investment arm. Mm-hmm. Both of them presented. They actually are jointly invested in some of these companies. And again, you know, my first inclination is, oh, they must be like, you know, pitched competition with each other to get in. But again, the credit union collaborative superpower kind of comes into play.
Yeah,
they seem to be very good at working together, and there's more than enough to go around.
Yeah, and it's only going to get better, I think. So yeah, and I think 2022 should be an interesting year. Speaking of that, before I let you go, get out your crystal ball. And give us any what do you see on the horizon in 2022 based on what's happened this year and what you
see? One of the things, and Rodney Hood, former chairman and still NCUA board member, Rodney Hood actually spoke at both of the conferences. And one of the points that he made, and again, to your point, there's going to be more of this coming. And part of it, I think, is because of the new CUSO rule that actually expands the ability for CUSOs to do the work, and they can actually make the same types of loans that credit unions mm-hmm. can. And that was an interesting, very intriguing kind of conversation, because it was a 2-1 vote. And it was actually the current chairperson that did not vote in favor.
Yeah. We had Chairman Harper on talking about that. So
okay.
Why are you going to center here? And he gave his reasons, so it's all right.
I got to go back and listen to that one. That was fascinating to me. But I think that will create even more opportunities for more CUSOs to, you know, rise up to solve some of these problems that are actually very well recognized in the marketplace, see where that leads us. And then the other piece that former Chairman Hood talked about again is crypto. And we're seeing more and more, you know, you can buy your crypto inside PayPal, Venmo's, everybody's got an opportunity now, and it's becoming more and more mainstream. All the statistics are showing how many people are using it. And mostly as an investment, I like to really clarify, because it's not developing the way I really would like to see it in terms of an actual means of transaction exchange.
Right, right.
But a lot of these same people who are using it, or even the ones who haven't necessarily jumped on board yet, would still prefer to do it through their financial institution. And that was one of the things that Chairman Hood mentioned was, you know, we can't allow credit unions to become disadvantaged. If everybody else has the opportunity to provide these services, credit unions need to as well.
Yeah,
so we don't have that right yet. We will soon. And we have to be ready to pounce. And I think that's, when I say pounce, I mean, just have your ducks in a row so that, you know, we have, you're not starting from a dead stop at the starting line. You've got an opportunity to figure out what you want to do and start executing the second you have the mm-hmm. wherewithal.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah. There are credit unions out there that are making moves in that area already, as you well know, but it would be great to get more moving in that direction. And I think they will, but it's still so new to a lot of people, even though it's been around for a little while and it's going bonkers. And
well, the other challenge with it is finding the resources to actually get your subject matter experts in place to do it. I mean, can you, they're very hard to find. They're high priced these days. So you really probably can't afford to bring one on full time, especially when you're not in a position yet to, we don't really know what form this is going to take, but you've at least got to do the homework. And that's where I think it becomes important to at least put in enough time for someone to get educated enough within your credit union to ask the right questions and reach out to the right people to continue that process.
Agreed. Oh my gosh, we could talk about crypto for the next 3 days. Great. 72 hours crypto. Oh my gosh, Glenn. Anything else here to add before I let you go? Because I know you're a busy guy, so I don't want to take up too much of your time, but anything else?
Without winding up going down something that takes us another 15 minutes, I can't think of anything, but I'm looking forward. I mean, you know, we're kind of getting into the lull now. We had a really busy conference stretch, and people clearly are excited to get back in person based on the attendance I saw. And the next one I've got on my calendar, well, I got a couple more before that, more of the client conference level, but GAC coming up, I guess it's actually early March this year.
Yeah, late February, early March. Yeah, so
hopefully we'll have exactly these kind of conversations on things like crypto. buy now, pay later, which is obviously a big one. I think we'll be having that conversation as well.
And I just saw a story over the weekend about how hackers are really enjoying buy now, pay later, which is another topic we can address at some point. So I found that quite interesting. So
my wife walked in the room the other day saying, have you heard about these Zelle fraud situations? I mean, it was on one of the weekend news programs, you know, the national news was talking to me. When it's enough of a, you want to establish your brand name. I don't think you want to establish your brand name in the attachment with the word fraud.
So right.
You got a few challenges there, which gets us back to real-time payments, which is another trend. I mean, I don't want to predict it's going to be the big trend of 2022 because the Fed won't go public or go launch live with it till 2023. But we're clearly moving in that direction. And I put that in the same category as crypto is.
Okay.
Make sure you're ready to move fast as soon as it's time to move.
Okay, good advice. All right, Glenn, well, I'm going to let you get back at it. Appreciate the time as always, sir. Let's do this more often. So blast and look forward to seeing you on the road in 2022.
See you soon, Mike. Take care.
All right, take care.